Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's not about putting our hope in man. It's about putting our hope in Jesus Christ and not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. It is the gospel of the kingdom. Isaiah 61:1 through 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Super excited for our guest today, Alex Newman, who is going to be here in Spokane on May 5th. I'll talk about that at the end of the show. We have a lot happening in the country right now, and I want to go down a couple of things that I've kind of seen here recently that really bothered me. It's about courage. And it is about realizing the time that we're actually in and not falling prey to the narrative that is being put out there. Let me be specific. If you are in a place right now where you are saying, that person's too controversial, I can't have them on a video, or I can't have them on a radio show, or I can't have them in a newspaper, or I can't have them on my blog, or I can't mention them on my social media page. Okay. If you're there, all right, what has happened is you have fallen victim, and there are no victims here. So this is your responsibility. You have fallen victim to the lie that you need to be inside the politically correct narrative. You have fallen victim to the lie that there should be political correctness at all. You have fallen victim to the lie that their paradigm is actual reality when it's not. It's team fantasy. We're team reality. And so I hear this disguised by people in terms of marketing and this and that, but really what it is, and this may sound harshness, I mean, it's disguising cowardice. That's what it is. What it is showing and what it is revealing is the hearts of people who are cowardly. And if that hurts you, that I just said that, take a step back and just pray about it. Is there a place I could be more courageous? Because my intent isn't to hurt you. My intent is to motivate you. My intent is to encourage you to action, as we say at the beginning of every single show. So, look, I've fallen into this where, and I caught myself, but I had to recognize it. Oh, that might be too, wait a minute. That's the truth. That's a leader. Like President Trump, for example, he's too controversial, right? But he speaks the truth on a lot of things. Not everything, but a lot of things. And so, don't fall into their paradigm. They have to create an alternative reality, a fantasy, in order to destroy the civilization that they are attacking. This was the point behind Hegel and Marx. This is what they were intentionally trying to do. And so they have to create this alternative reality. Don't play in their reality, because it isn't reality. It's fantasy. Don't play in their fantasy. Don't play according to their terms. I had somebody complain against about me via email about a word I used, because the word was in the King James, which appropriately described equinus asinus, or a donkey. And I was kind of a lot taken aback by it, because what they were doing is trying to censor the English language, thinking they were doing it with good intentions, but it is never a good intention to censor anything, or anyone for that matter. Now, people are going to say, well, what about pornography? Okay, I'm not talking images. I'm talking words. I'm talking thoughts. And we have to be just as fierce defending the right of free speech of the radical left as we do of us. Otherwise, it's hypocrisy. And so, back to the courage part of this, if you have found yourself falling into this, I can't be a part of that. It's too controversial. I'm afraid to say it's too controversial. You're acting out of fear. Don't act out of fear. God's told us over 365 times in the scriptures, do not fear, or something very similar to that. One for each day of the year. So let's not fear and fall into that. And you especially run into this in politics. And the whole problem is that we have not cultured, we have not nurtured, we have not intentionally blossomed a culture of confrontation. And so there's this massive passive-aggressive stuff out there right now. And passive-aggressive is sin. You can't do that. We are called to confront things. We are called to contend for the faith. We're not called to just hide things under the rug and pretend that they didn't happen, or to stay away from things because it might result in a confrontation. Where did that come from? That's weak. That's what weak civilizations have done. That's what weak men and women have done. Americans confront evil. Call it out for what it is and confront it. And not be worried about it. And not get stuck in these paradigms of marketing or we need to reach the greatest. Look, that's not unimportant to try to reach a great amount of people, but you're supposed to be reaching them with the truth, not a shaded, not a watered down version of the truth. And if this had happened in politics 20 years ago, we wouldn't be here today. If there had been people with guts in the leadership in the houses of the states and in Congress that would have stood up and called this stuff for what it was, and then taken clear affirmative action to get rid of it, to vote it out, to crush it where it stood, in not just debate, but in practically killing those bills instead of letting a watered down version get through, we would not be in the situation we're in today. So examine yourselves. And I'm examining myself. Have I fallen into this somewhere? And then pray that the Lord would show you how to address these situations in the way that He wants us to, and that is telling the truth in love. All right. Now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Coming to us from Debka File. 35 rockets set loose by Hamas toward Israel, and this is to back some anti-Jewish riots in Jerusalem. The United States not listening to Israel, but very clearly doing some things that are ginning up a war in the Middle East. Which brings us to WorldNet Daily. President Biden, pretender Biden, faces questions over funding for pay-to-slay agenda. Now, if you are not familiar with this, back during the Obama administration, this actually came to the fore where the United States was sending money to the Palestinian Authority, and the Palestinian Authority was turning around and using that money to pay the families of suicide bombers. Now, a legal team is launching a Freedom of Information Act for the itemization of this Middle East spending, which is a fantastic idea, because I think people would be absolutely shocked if they knew the reality of what was happening in the Middle East and where our money was being spent. So, this giving money to the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas is ridiculous. Now, the Council on American Islamic Relations, doing business, that's their name, as that, shown in the Holy Land Foundation trial to be linked with the Muslim Brotherhood and to be Hamas in America doing business as the Council on American Islamic Relations. This was upheld on appeal. Why are we giving money to people that want to destroy our country? I mean, do I have to ask that question? Why are we giving money to people who are trying to destroy our country? And look, these people are Harvard and Yale graduates, okay? They are not stupid. And Stanford, too, probably. They're not stupid. Why are they doing this? Unless they're doing it intentionally. Which, if they are giving aid, aka money, to our enemies, that is by definition treason. If you give aid and comfort to the enemies of a country, that is by definition treason. And I think we need to have this conversation nationally a lot more boisterously than is happening right now. All right, that moves us next to Technocracy News and to China. China's digital yuan is coming forward, it looks like. China's technocracy is almost complete as it issues a digital programmable currency where the location and ownership of each individual unit is recorded and monitored. I'm going to read this again. Everybody pay attention. For years, we have been talking about it. It is now here. China's technocracy, okay, here's what it is almost complete as it issues a digital programmable currency where the location and ownership of each individual unit is recorded and monitored. 2 weeks ago, this was reported on. You can go look at this at Technocracy News. Beijing has also tested expiration dates on the currency to encourage users to spend it even more quickly. Since China has the ability to monitor transactions involving digital currency, it may be easier to retaliate against anyone who rebuffs Beijing on sensitive issues, like, oh, I don't know, Taiwan, Hong Kong, for example. And also the currency can be turned off like a light switch. Folks, that is the very definition of slavery. We have been warning about it. China is now fielding this. I'm going to post this up online so you can all see it, because I'm going to get to a couple stories from this one. I'm going to get to where this is headed soon, okay? So China essentially has created a digital currency that is probably going to be used as a model around the world that essentially is slavery. You can't buy or sell unless you have this currency, and let's read this again. This currency is digital programmable and has the location and ownership of each individual unit, which is recorded and monitored. Oh, but it'll end underground economies. No, it won't. It's going to actually create them. All right. Next on the international front. China's social credit scoring is expanding globally. This coming to us from Technocracy News as well. It is now, I want you to hear this, everybody in the American redoubt, hear this. China's social credit score is expanding, scoring is expanding globally, now openly operational in Western Canada. They are allowing now surveillance systems to infiltrate the social fabric of Western Canada. Here is what was said. Haidilao Hot Pod in Vancouver confirmed that over 60 surveillance cameras have been installed in the restaurant at the request of the Haidilao Corporation as part of the social credit system in China. So let me make this a little bit simpler. So you have a manager of a restaurant that is part of a corporation that is Chinese, and they're implementing the social credit system in Western Canada, in Vancouver, right now. It gets even more interesting. This manager, Ryan Pan, he said that the location has 30 tables with two cameras assigned to each table, and that the cameras were installed to, quote, punish, end quote, staff if they didn't adhere to corporate standards and to, quote, people track, end quote. Pan also said that the video is sent back to China but declined to say why this was, other than to say the reason for this was, quote, secret, end quote. So let me see. Okay, you have a foreign government, because it's communist, it owns everything, okay, so it owns this corporation. Okay, so you have a foreign government with video cameras in another country tracking that country's citizens and sending that video back to China. Doesn't that sound like it's spying? Yes. And they're cataloging people so they can begin to punish people, and they're even admitting it. Which brings us to the next thing on the international front, and this coming to us from Summit News. In the United Kingdom, a Christian pastor was arrested. A Christian pastor was arrested for saying marriage is between a man and a woman. Well, let me just say this for the whole radio audience out there. Marriage is between a man and a woman. All right. A Christian pastor in the UK was arrested by police after a member of the public reported him for the homophobic, quote-unquote, homophobic comment of saying that marriage was between a man and a woman. Yes, this actually happened. It occurred in West London. The pastor was 70 and is 71 years old. He was released without charge after spending the night in jail. John Sherwood was only saying what the Bible says. This is his quote. I was only saying what the Bible says. I just wasn't wanting to hurt anyone or cause offense, end quote. So now pastors are being arrested for quoting the Bible. That's interesting. Just like was warned 10 years ago. That moves us now to the national front. Dr. Marty Makary, more people have tuberculosis than coronavirus right now in the United States. You heard that correctly. And so, where does this go from here? And then there is more. We're going to get some people on the show here in the next few weeks, talk about the reactions now that are happening of people transmitting after they've been vaccinated. That's a fascinating subject. Also want to highlight another thing on the national front. And this is going to be probably not surprising to a lot of people, but I don't know, maybe. The Pretender has his DOJ raid Rudy Giuliani's home and office, all the while ignoring Hunter Biden's hard drives. Federal agents served warrants at Giuliani's Madison Avenue apartment and Park Avenue office Wednesday, seizing computers and cell phones. The raids were part of an escalating federal investigation into Giuliani's dealing in Ukraine because they got the goods from Ukraine. And Giuliani was who got the goods. And I find it fascinating that they are now using the FBI as almost a Gestapo to go after political opponents. Anybody, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, anybody who countenances something like that, I think, wow. Because this is clearly political. The problem is that the corruption these guys were trying to uncover, that was real. That was actual. And so now people will try to turn that around and say, oh, no, they're just trying to uncover corruption too. Now, this is a political targeted hit. Why do I say that? Because, according to the NWO report, quote, the FBI is combing through illegally gathered private data to build cases against Trump supporters, end quote. Something we knew was occurring, a heavily redacted report, which has been declassified by the FISA, or Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, showed that the FBI received private information about right-wing individuals in September of 2019. Huh. I wonder who those people were. This occurred as the FBI was ignoring pressing Antifa and Black Lives Matter terror threats. It wasn't just threats. Some violence was already starting. Wow. An FBI spokesman released a statement justifying the illicit privacy violations against the Fourth Amendment rights of citizens, saying that the, quote, query incidents referenced in this report occurred prior to implementation of the FBI system changes and training. Oops, sorry, but we've fixed it now. Only I really don't trust that they have, because Rudy Giuliani's apartment was just raided. Whew. All right. Let's go next on the national front to some really, I think, positive news. All right, not totally positive, but positive. Out of the Liberty Sentinel, Arizona bans abortion for birth defects and pro-life women. Now, when I was in the legislature, I introduced amendments to ban abortion of kids with Down syndrome or other defects as well, because all human life is precious. We are made in the image of God. Well, now Arizona looks like they are headed in the right direction, as Governor Doug Ducey took a huge step by signing Senate Bill 1457 into law, which protects children that may have been diagnosed in the womb with conditions such as Down syndrome. So a huge step in the right direction. Now, this is happening around the country, but ultimately abortion must be abolished. People sometimes get, again, bent out of shape about those kind of things, but all human life is precious. And this is horrific that this has gone on this long. All right. I want to talk, too, about how states can fight back. A lot of states are passing laws, and those laws are now being signed regarding nullification. Now, a lot of people have come forward recently, and these are the same arguments that were used 10 years ago that we refuted 10 years ago at the beginning of the modern 10th Amendment movement. The Supremacy Clause prohibits nullification. Actually, that's not true. Nullification is the ability of a state to say we're not going to enact or enforce any federal regulatory schemes. And if you act in an unconstitutional manner, you will not be able to use any state resources. And the Achilles heel of the federal government is they have to rely on state and local law enforcement bureaucrats to enact these horrific measures like gun control. So nullification which was first brought forward by James Madison and Thomas Jefferson, no less. And James Madison did not, contrary to myth, did not ever go back on that. So you can read about this in the 10th Amendment Center's article, but the United States Supreme Court is not the final arbiter of what is and what is not constitutional. Every single person takes an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution if you are in elected office. And so it's up to all of us. That's the grand check in the system, up to all of us to do the right thing, regardless of what anybody else is doing around us. This issue was settled at the Nuremberg trials after World War II when the Nazis were tried and they came up with this excuse, an order is an order. No, we are all held to an individual moral standard, but we're all held, if we've taken an oath, to a constitutional standard. And it is our job to uphold the Constitution. It is our job to act morally, regardless of what everybody else around us is doing. All right, I want to go next to, and I got to skip over a couple things. There's so much happening. My goodness, it's incredible. I want to skip next to this weird deal. I'm just going to give you a teaser on this a little bit. This coming to us from Technocracy News. Shadowy DARPA-linked company took over a chunk of the Pentagon's internet on Inauguration Day. We're going to call it Installation Day. So this shadowy company called the Global Resource Systems took over, from Installation Day to now, 175 million IP addresses, which were previously owned by the U.S. Department of Defense. About 1/25 the size of the current internet, and over twice the size of the internet space actually used by the Pentagon. Why? Well, we're going to hopefully find out in the days ahead, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention today. And lastly, on the local front, coming up here May 5th, 7 o'clock, Coeur d'Alene Resort. Alex Newman is going to be there, and we're going to talk a little bit about that during the show today. And I hope to see you all there. And that is The Briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us. And if you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US and like the page. Or better yet, go to MeWe, Gab, and WeSpeak and like the pages there. We're also on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. And you can catch a replay of this Tuesday and Thursday, 9 o'clock, on the entire ACN network. And now it's my honor to introduce once again Alex Newman, senior editor of the New American Magazine, founder of Liberty Sentinel Media, and just so many other things. I don't know how you keep it all straight, but you do a great job fighting for freedom and liberty. It's always great to have you on the show, Alex. How are you doing? Are you there?
I am.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, I just did the introduction, so welcome to the show, Alex. I hope life is treating you well right now, and tell us a little bit about what's going on out there that we need to know, and then we'll get into some specifics here on some of the just almost unbelievable things. I guess it's believable because we've been talking about it for years, but almost unbelievable things that are happening across this country and across the world.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me, Matt. It's always a pleasure to join you. I'm looking forward to being in your area very soon. I'll be flying up Monday, and I hope to see people. I'll be in Coeur d'Alene, Bonner's Ferry, Kalispell, Montana. So if you're in any of those places, come out. And, Matt, I'll start by saying I got a call yesterday from a lady in Miami who had lived through the Cuban Revolution. And she said something that really struck me. I haven't been able to get it out of my mind for the last 2 days. She said, Alex, you know, you people talking about the midterm elections and regaining the presidency in 2024, you guys don't understand what's happening here. There may be just a few weeks or a few months left of this semblance of freedom in our country. We are living through a communist revolution. We're in a time very similar to right before Castro marched into Havana. And people are not understanding the gravity of the situation we find ourselves in. Then I look at the news this morning, and they've raided Rudy Giuliani's apartment and his office. They've raided some of Trump's other attorneys. I mean, I had a lady from Uganda at my house last night over for dinner from a very prominent family. Said this is, you know, the fraud of the 2020 election. This is the same kind of stuff we've been dealing with in Uganda. They've had the same president for going on 35 years now. And then I just interviewed a woman from China. She immigrated here after having lived through the Cultural Revolution Mao's terror. And she was a little girl when Mao began promoting this evil in the public school system. And what she said to me is, Alex, the same thing that I went through in communist China in these indoctrination camps posing as public schools, they are now subjecting the children to here. They're teaching the children that there are two classes of people. There's the oppressors and the oppressed. In China, they had the black classes and the red classes. The black classes were the families that had some land, maybe a business, counter-revolutionaries, Christians. The red classes were the proletariat, the landless peasants, the workers, and the red soldiers, the revolutionary soldiers. And she said, we are seeing exactly the same thing in America's classrooms everywhere today, teaching the kids that you're either an oppressor or an oppressed based on your skin color, whether you're cisgender. I hope people understand the gravity of the situation we find ourselves in. We need to take it very seriously, and we need to get active because we are just on the cusp of losing our freedoms if we don't get involved. And, it's a fascinating time to be alive, Matt.
It really is a fascinating time to be alive. And I think that with what we're seeing right now, people are still having a normalcy bias that this can't possibly be happening in America. You guys are overstating this. There is just no way a communist revolution is ever going to happen in America. And yet here we are. And the signs really are everywhere. Speech is being silenced. Political opponents are being targeted. You have riots in the street, contrived, anger in the street to try to create and foment chaos. You have foreign countries that are very clearly operating to help foment that unrest here, and those countries are communist. I mean, the signs really are everywhere.
You're exactly right, Matt. And you're right. People have a normalcy bias, and we need to get over that. We need to recognize what we're dealing with. We need to recognize the signs of what we're dealing with. These are exactly the same tactics that were used in other nations to foment a communist revolution. You've got the ragamuffins out in the street who really don't understand what they're a part of. They've been whipped into a frenzy, told that they're fighting against some perceived injustice, real or imagined, right? Sometimes they use a grain of truth to foment and whip these mobs into a frenzy. And then you get the pressure from above. The governor step in and say, oh, we hear you after you burn down the city. We understand what you want, and we're going to give it to you. We're going to deliver. These are the same tactics, the pressure from below, pressure from above. This is what was used to enslave Czechoslovakia after World War II under a communist dictatorship. So we're seeing all of the signs of a revolution happening right now. And I think at the federal level, we really have lost control. Through election fraud, we've got an imposter in the White House, and they are bound and determined to turn us into a banana republic. They are literally running raids on their political opponents, on the attorneys of their political opponents. This is just unprecedented in all American history. And they know that the American people know they're illegitimate. I mean, if you look at the polling data, Rasmussen released a poll recently. Most Americans recognize the 2020 election was a fraud. So we're in a very dangerous situation. But we do have one, and actually several, unique advantages that many of those other countries that fell to communist revolutions did not have, and that is our state governments and our political subdivisions within our state governments, including our sheriffs, including our police departments, our city councils, our county commissions. That's where we're going to have to shore up the rule of law. That's where we're going to have to make our stand. That's where Christians and patriots and people who do not want to live as slaves are going to have to concentrate their efforts. Washington, D.C. Is just completely beyond our control at this time, and unless we restore real elections, that's going to be the case for the foreseeable future. But at the state level, there's still a lot we can do. Montana, Idaho are doing great things. My great state of Florida, we just passed a bill out of the legislature today banning vaccine passports. We just passed a new law on rioting that strongly would dissuade people from going out and looting and rioting and causing havoc in our streets. So these are the types of things that we need to do, that we must do. We need to be meeting with our sheriffs. If you're in a county that has a sheriff with some common sense, we need to be meeting with our county commissions and our state legislators, because we are heading into some very, very difficult times. And we need to make crystal clear that the rule of law still stands in Idaho and in Montana and in Florida and in Oklahoma and in South Carolina. That's going to be where we're going to have to shore up the rule of law and the protection of liberty and our God-given rights while we try to figure out what to do with this monster that unfortunately has grown up in Washington, D.C.
So let's talk a little bit about what can we do about this. There's so much that's happening. What can we do about this? Where do we go from here? I mean, we're facing the Great Reset. I would like you to talk about the Great Reset a little bit and how this is really an attempt to change our mindset. The Chinese now are fielding an actual digital currency that they can turn off like a light switch. This is all happening right now. And it seems like everything is kind of going in hyperspeed right now. What can we do as individual people to start educating ourselves on this and help our kids undo any education indoctrination that they got in the public school system?
Yeah, that's the $500 trillion question, Matt. That's actually going to be the subject of my talks when I'm up next week in the Pacific Northwest. And I would say the first and most important thing that everybody needs to do is get right with the Lord. If you're not already, get on your knees in prayer. Open up the Bible. That is how God primarily speaks to people today. You don't need to necessarily be listening to pastors, although there's some great ones in your area like Matt. But the Bible is really the way God communicates with his people. And so get yourself into a Bible-believing church if you're not already. If you're in the Spokane region, again, Matt's church is available. But I think the churches are going to be absolutely central in getting us through this. And I think really it begins with a personal reformation. The American people have departed from God, and there are enormous consequences to this. I mean, I recommend, a lot of Christians like to kind of leave the Old Testament aside. I think that's a mistake. The Old Testament is critical. We see in the Old Testament what happens clearly when a people that once knew God start departing from the faith, start worshiping idols, start sacrificing their children to idols. Just go back and read how God dealt with Israel as they went astray and as they went to whoring after other gods. We see this happening now, right? In California, they literally, under the new ethnic studies curriculum that they've just approved, they're unanimously by their state board of education, they have the children in elementary school chanting to the demonic deities of the old Aztec regime, the deities of cannibalism and human sacrifice and war. This is exactly what the people of Israel began to do over and over again in ancient times when they started worshiping Moloch and Baal and sacrificing their children. And King Ahab and Queen Jezebel came in. So this is the type of stuff that has happened before in history when a people who knew God and a nation that was founded on the principles of God departed from the faith. And then we see how God responds to that. He sends plagues. He sends tyrants to oppress them. He just absolutely punishes them in a very severe way, to the point where Israel was carried off into slavery, into a pagan empire by a mass-murdering pagan dictator. And I think Americans have this incredible naivety that, well, we're America, and that's never going to happen to us. Folks, not only is it going to happen, it's happening now. We are already facing judgment. And so the first and most important thing is for people to get right with the Lord, open up the Bible. That's where you will find the truth. And, what we're really in is a spiritual battle, Ephesians 6:12. I feel like a broken record because it's so critical to understand that this is not just a political issue. This is not just an issue of bad politicians with bad policies. This is a spiritual war. Evil is running amok. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verses 15 through 18, say, what are our defenses and what are our offensive weapons in this war? So we take the shield of faith, and that's going to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the lies and the schemes. Then we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the Bible. That is our primary weapon. And so when the schools try to convince our children that gender is unlimited, that you can be any gender you want. If you're a girl, just inject yourself with testosterone and chop off your breasts and go have your genitals mutilated. We say, no, that's ridiculous. God created them male and female, he created them. Right, so that is going to be our standard of truth. And from that, then everything else flows, Matt. Then we understand as parents, okay, what is our duty as parents to raise up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? How do we do that? Can we hand them over to a pagan, wicked government that has completely waged war on everything that God has taught? And the answer is self-evidently no, right? So we begin there in our homes, in our families, in our jobs as parents, and out into our communities, right? Once we've got our own homes taken care of, we need to reach out maybe first through the church and then later through the local body politic So much we can do. And then, you know, some states are in much better positions than others to resist this tide. And I don't necessarily advocate that people leave a state that looks hopeless, because I think right now we're seeing a big shift. We're seeing pastors getting a backbone. We're seeing a lot of people who were just kind of going along to get along, recognizing that something is very wrong here. We're seeing a lot of Democrats recognizing that the party has gone completely mad. And so I think the tide is turning. I was just in Minnesota last weekend, one of the supposedly most liberal states out there. Great things are happening. So we've got to get active in the local political scene to the extent that that we're able. We've got to be prepared for whatever may come. And, you know, right now the COVID vaccine is at the top of the agenda. I encourage people to do their research. Do not trust the government that is so clearly out of control. Do your own research. I think there's something very nefarious going on here, and I want American people to pay close attention. I think we're being deceived, and I think there's going to be very serious consequences from this. I've been interviewing doctor after doctor after doctor, some of the top experts in the world on these questions, and they're all saying the same thing. Beware, beware, beware. You're being lied to. You're being fed propaganda. You're being denied access to the truth through social media censorship. And then finally, Matt, and I'll leave it at this and hand it back to you, we've got to get alternative ways of communicating and keeping in touch and also staying informed on the issues. And so I encourage people, get subscribed to some physical publications if you can. Make sure you have ways of communicating with people in your community. If standard communication channels go down, things like email, things like social media, potentially even things like cell phones, and just be alert. Don't be scared. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but do be prepared, do be aware, and do be getting as active as you possibly can, because we're coming down to the wire. Where America goes from here, I think it's going to be decided over the next few months and maybe the next few years. So
let's talk a little bit about the Great Reset. Now, this hasn't been talked about a lot, but there is an attack on our mindset. Team Fantasy is trying to create this alternate reality that is not grounded in objectivity, is not grounded in facts, is not grounded in truth. They're trying to create this and drag people into this. And sometimes we kind of fall into it. We don't even know we've fallen into it. And really, they're trying to create a new mindset out there that, Alex, it's okay. You don't need to own property, but you're going to be happy, right? So if you could, go through the Great Reset and this attack on the mindset of freedom and liberty.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about this, Matt. This is one of the most significant developments of the last year, and it is going to be one of the most significant developments on the horizon indefinitely right now. This is the new marketing slogan that they have for this fundamental transformation that they've been pursuing for so long. I think the simplest way to understand it is just take what the Bible teaches and flip it upside down on every issue all the time. So God said, thou shalt not steal. They say, we're going to steal absolutely everything. You're going to own nothing, right? God says, thou shalt not murder. They say, well, you know, unborn babies, they're rather inconvenient. Old people, you know, they've lived a good life, and now they're just taking up money with medicine. So, you know, just get rid of them. So on every point, you know, God created the nation state. So they tell us that nations and borders are racist, and that we need to just get over our hang up on this thing called the nation state. On every issue, every time, they come down on the wrong side. But this Great Reset, for people who aren't familiar with it, I almost feel like a broken record now, because this was announced in June of 2020, and we reported it at the New American almost right away. I believe I was the only American journalist, unless there's some that I'm not aware of, for months who talked about this, and yet this was one of the most significant events of all of 2020. You had the head of the United Nations, the head of the International Monetary Fund, the heir to the British throne, Prince Charles, and the head of the World Economic Forum as the four keynote speakers. Then you had nine lesser speakers, including a senior member of the Communist Party of China, CEOs of some of the most important corporations in the world, like MasterCard, like ChipSafer, which, by the way, makes implantable microchip technology that you put in your livestock to track their location, to track their health, to track their status. And if you think they brought that person up to promote this for livestock, you're obviously not paying attention. Okay, you're the livestock, folks. And so you had this incredible event take place where they basically announced that the entire world, everything was going to change. Business was going to change. The economy was going to change. Money was going to change. And they asked Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum. This guy's like a caricature. He is just unbelievably ridiculous looking. The guy, they couldn't have picked a better Dr. Evil if they had gone out of their way and tried to find one. He's also got, incidentally, family connections to the mass murdering National Socialist regime of Germany. And they asked him, what is the most important thing that's going to be transformed and changed during this great reset? He points to his head. He says, your mindset. And this is a theme that they have had on the agenda for a long time. They want to transform the way you think, what you believe, your attitudes, your values, your thoughts, your attitudes, absolutely everything. And they're dead serious. And I'll say one more thing on this so that people appreciate the gravity of the situation, that he said one of the critical components of the Great Reset, I'm talking about Klaus Schwab here, was the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And people naturally have warm and fuzzy feelings for industrial revolutions because really they've liberated people from backbreaking labor and hunger and poverty and things. So they kind of capitalized on people's warm, fuzzy feelings for this term to bring it in now for what they're calling the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Well, Klaus Schwab wrote a book on the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I urge everybody to go down in there to the local library, get a copy of it. Read what this lunatic is saying. Okay? He is openly advocating for microchips to be fused into your brain that will be able to read your thoughts, read your mind. He says governments may require brain scans to check whether you're a national security risk. Okay, this is him, not me. I recognize it sounds like terrible science fiction, and yet this is what one of the most powerful men on planet Earth is advocating right now. And during a speech on the Fourth Industrial Revolution at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, he explained very clearly that the Fourth Industrial Revolution is going to be the merger of our biological identities with our digital identities. They're talking about merging man and machine. This is transhumanism. And they've come out of the closet on this. Just a couple of years ago at the World Government Summit, they had a guy, the founder of the Trans Species Society. He's got this weird antenna sticking out of his head. He says, I'm not fully human anymore. And pretty soon, you won't be either.
I don't even know what to say to that. He had an antenna sticking out of the side of his head?
He had an antenna sticking out of his head, yep, and he claims it gives him these special powers to see things that other people can't see. And so, and he says there's hundreds of people just like him who are not human anymore. We are now trans species, he says, and this is going to be the norm. There's another guy out there, Yuval Harari. He wrote a book called Homo Deus, right? This is the kind of blasphemous train these people are on, where he is saying that we are basically going to become gods, right? Go back to Genesis 3:5. We've heard this lie before, and he's talking about man is going to fuse with machine, we're going to become immortal. So these people are absolutely mad. They are involved in things that are absolutely evil, and they want to bring all of us along for the ride.
Do you get a picture of this antenna guy? I'm sorry I'm stuck on that a little bit, but I think that...
you can find it all over. He was one of the major speakers at the World Government Summit just a few years ago, where, incidentally, they erected a replica of the Arch of Baal. I can't remember his name. I think it's Magnuson, some Scandinavian name. I think he's from one of the Scandinavian countries.
I'm going to get a picture of this, because I think images like this, and in their own words, kind of shock people into the reality of where we really are at right now.
Yep. Gracious. Yep. I've actually got a clip of his where he's talking about how he's a transhuman, trans-species individual that I'll be showing when I'm up in the Pacific Northwest next week. So,
wow. So in the next few months, what do you expect them to continue doing? I mean, obviously the Chinese are working as fast as they can to establish social credit score systems, not just in China, but throughout the world now, as we saw with this issue up in Western Canada. What do you think their next step is over the summer, or next steps?
Well, I think some of the things that we need to be really on alert for, Matt, is the actual targeting, the actual persecution of dissidents in a way that would have been unthinkable even just a few years ago. I think the raids on Giuliani and some of Trump's attorneys, what we saw with Roger Stone, what we saw with Mike Flynn, what we saw with Paul Manafort, I think this is just the warm-up act. Okay, on April 15th, Joe Biden issued an executive order where he decreed that anybody who is determined at the sole prerogative, by the way, of the Secretary of State or the Secretary of the Treasury or the Attorney General to be engaged in very loosely defined malicious cyber activities, efforts to undermine democratic processes, not just in the United States but in other countries, can be targeted for absolute destruction without so much as a criminal charge being filed, without so much as a court hearing being scheduled, without any mechanism to appeal. As long as somebody at the high levels of the federal government says you are doing malicious cyber activities that somehow help Russia, they can freeze all of your assets. They can freeze all of your spouse's assets. They can freeze all of your children's assets. They can go after anybody who does business with you and provides goods and services to you, which if you read the order, that could even be your grocery store, right? They sold you food. Oh, they've provided a good or service to you, and therefore now they are going to be caught up in this dragnet. He didn't pass that for no reason, and he didn't pass that to go after Russians. We know the Clintons have been in bed with the Russians for a long time. Just think back over the last 4 years. They've been telling us for 4 years that the president that we elected in a landslide at the Electoral College and probably in the popular vote if you get rid of the fraud was a Russian asset, which is, of course, ludicrous. That's what this is for. And so I think the persecution and the targeting of dissidents is going to accelerate. They'll probably start with prominent people like Giuliani and then work their way down to the lower levels. And I think we need to resist this. We need our sheriffs to resist this. We need our governors to resist this. So, you know, folks, if you don't have a good relationship with your sheriff, try to form one. And if that doesn't work, you probably need to find a new sheriff. Because I think sheriffs are going to be one of the last lines of defense. Sheriff Richard Mack is doing heroic work training sheriffs all across the country. He's going to some states, and every sheriff in the entire state is coming to his training. And they're being taught the importance of their role, the significance of their role, and actually their duty to protect the God-given rights of their constituents, not obey the decrees of this imposter fake president that we have in the White House. So I think that's one of the big things to watch for, Matt. On the economic front, I think we're going to start seeing some very real pain. And I want to throw this out there. I don't want people to feel like I'm just being doom and gloom. I recognize none of these scenarios are bright and happy and encouraging. But guess what? Our hope cannot be in this world. It should not be in this world. But we do need to be realistic, and we don't want to be caught off guard. So on the economic front, this is already happening. I've been warning about this for years. They are preparing to unleash a tsunami of inflation that is going to absolutely destroy the purchasing power of your currency. We're already seeing it. Agricultural commodities are skyrocketing. Building materials are skyrocketing. Across the board, the necessities of life are going to continue skyrocketing. That's going to put a lot of pressure on people. It's going to put a lot of pressure on family budgets. Unless you're a banker or connected to Wall Street or the military-industrial complex or the federal government, you're going to feel a squeeze because your wages are not going to increase nearly as fast as the prices of the things that you need to survive. And then on top of that, they're coming in with a huge change, Matt, that nobody is talking about. So your listeners will be some of the few who even understand what's coming. The International Monetary Fund is getting ready to create $650 billion worth of special drawing rights. Now, they make this needlessly confusing, but basically, if you want to understand special drawing rights, recognize this is the future global currency that is being prepared right now. This is by far the biggest issuance. They're going to be distributing this to governments all over the world. So they're creating currency out of thin air. And I mean, it's not like you can go to the store and buy goods and services with it, but it's instantly redeemable in U.S. dollars or euros. So it is de facto stealing money from Americans and giving it to governments. They're going to use this to shovel billions into the pockets of the big pharmaceutical companies to vaccinate everybody that they can get their hands on. And in the process, they're going to pave the way to a true global currency as the U.S. dollar loses its reserve status. So these are big changes that are coming down the pike. You will be in a much better position if you understand these things, if you know these things are coming. So pay attention, folks. These are going to be some very interesting times we're going into. And, you know, for the sake of your children and your grandchildren, if nothing else, you've got to get involved. And for those people who think all this bad stuff is, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the line, but you got to wake up and smell the flowers. It may be just around the corner.
So the last couple minutes that we have left, if you could tell people about the events that you're going to have up here again, and also how they can get more involved and get plugged in, and where they should be getting their news from, where they should be reading.
Yeah, thank you so much, Matt. So I will be flying into Spokane, I believe, on Monday. And then Tuesday, I'll be in Idaho. I think I've got Bonner Sherry and also Coeur d'Alene. And then the next day, I think Thursday, I'll be in Kalispell, Montana. Unfortunately, we had to cut this trip short because I've got other stuff I've got to do. But I hope if people are within driving distance of one of those events, they'll come out. It's going to be important, a good chance to network with a lot of patriotic Americans and God-fearing, liberty-loving individuals. So I hope people will come out to that, and I'll be talking solutions. As far as you know, how people can get connected, how people can get involved, a lot of different ways. I mean, if you just want to get involved in activism and working to counter these agendas, go to the John Birch Society's website, jbs.org. This is the organization that has been fighting this for over six decades. They know what's going on. They've been on the front lines of this. And now, after 60 years, all over the country, people are waking up and saying, dang it, you guys were right. We should have listened 40 years ago, and we wouldn't be in this mess. But better late than never. Get a subscription to the New American Magazine. I'm the senior editor there. There is another senior editor, William F. Jasper, who's wonderful. And in my opinion, best magazine on planet Earth. I also write for the Epoch Times. It's a great publication. You can get it weekly delivered to your house if you live outside of the big cities. There you can get it, a daily edition. People can find my website at libertysentinel.org. And if you have school-aged children, please go to publicschoolexit.com. Everything you need there to get started on getting your children out of the system. If you're a pastor, a rabbi, a priest, we'll hold your hand and walk you through what you can do in your congregation to get your congregation prepared and start getting the kids out. So lots of different things. You know, everybody, nobody can do everything, but there is a role for you. If you're hearing my voice, you fit in somewhere. And so I hope people will get plugged in. And there's a lot of other things that I didn't mention. You know, I don't know what people, what gifts people have, what talents, what they feel led to do. But now is a really good time to get involved. If you could have done it yesterday, that would have been better. But hey, better late than never. Let's all get active today. So.
Alex Newman, thank you so much. I'm sure you're headed down to the store right now to buy an antenna for your head, but blessings to you. Yes. Keep up the fight. I look forward to seeing you here soon.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. God bless.
All right. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Remember, May 5th, 7 o'clock, Coeur d'Alene Resort. For those of you in this area, join us and listen to what Alex Newman has to say, and more importantly, what we need to do about it in these times. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.